but we are onto the final installment of our values that we've been looking at as we have explored who we are as Elim Aberystwyth and the values that we seek to carry and to express as a church. Right at the beginning of this series, we talked about what those values are. What is it to have values as a body of believers or as any kind of organization, any kind of group of people that meet or do things together regularly? You will find that there are values that are expressed within that group. And within the life of Elim Aberystwyth, this is what we mean when we say our values. These are either ways of doing things that are deeply ingrained in who we are. They're part of our DNA, if you like, as a church. They're kind of the things that we just find naturally are expressed in the life of how we do things. If they're not already deeply ingrained, then they're things that we are seeking to ingrain in the life of church. So they're going to be aspirational principles, things that we're aiming for, things that we're looking to incorporate, and things that we are hoping will be expressed in the life of our church. So, the first of those is that we are people who are Christ-centered. We talked about everything that we do being centered around Him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it's on Him. He says that He will build His church. And so we just simply want to be an expression of the Church of Jesus Christ, bringing His good news to our community and to our generation. We talked about being a people who are Bible-shaped. That's a shorter way of saying people who are shaped by the principles and the truths that we find expressed in the Scriptures that we've been given. So we understand that the Word of God has been given to us in the form of the Bible to instruct us, to help us, to strengthen us, to reveal God's character to us, and to show us how we are to live our lives and how we're to live in response to God. So we want to be shaped by the Scriptures. We talked about being a people who are family. We'll touch a little bit more on this through the morning, but we are a family in God. We talked about being a people who are vibrant, who are expressive in our response to all that God has done, that are full of life because of the fullness of life that Jesus came to give us, and how that's expressed. A people who demonstrate integrity. We want to be those who are who we say we are, who do what we say we will do, and seek to grow in expressing that integrity. A people who extend grace, so a people who have received the grace of God and are able to therefore extend that grace to others. Amen? Has anybody received the grace of God in their lives? And if we've received that grace, then really it's so good that it needs to overflow into the lives of others. And so this morning, tying some of this together and probably expressing aspects of this, another of the ones which, when you look at it on paper, you go, well, what does it mean that Elim Aberystwyth are people who connect? Well, hopefully by the end of this morning, we'll have a clearer a clearer idea of what we mean when we say we're a people who connect. And there's lots of different ways that that connection is expressed. But the first and the most important thing is to understand who and how and why we are connected. Colossians 1 and verse 15, if you can see the words clearly enough, I know it's quite a bright day. We like having a bright day, but the one thing that it does mean is that it's harder to see our screen here. But if you can see those words clearly enough, please read them along with me. Let's declare the word of God together. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. We come back to our first value here, and we understand that Christ is our connection point. Christ is the one in whom all things are held together. Christ is the one who holds all things from before the beginning of time to beyond the end into eternity. It's all held together in Him. And so it's Him that we look to. And that was expressed very clearly and lived out in his life, in his earthly ministry, as he walked around as one of us, took on human flesh, became one of us. He held all things together, and he has become the turning point of history. Literally, our calendars are based around Jesus Christ, and he's become the very holding point of creation. But when he was walking on earth, he told us what the greatest commandments were in the law. The Pharisees trying to catch him out, trying to trick him, trying to get an answer out of him that would make him look foolish or trap him in what he was saying, asked him, so teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. And that's why when we talk about having a purpose statement as a church, a mission statement, if you like, we simply say, love God, love people. That's our desire. That's how these values are all held together. That's what we want to see expressed in all of the values that we're talking about. And whenever I read that verse and I see Jesus talking about how the law and the prophet hang on these two, all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments, I always think of a coat hanger. It's unlikely that they had coat hangers when Jesus was speaking. I don't know. I don't know what they did. I don't know where they stored their clothes. I've not done research into ancient history in that. But I see a coat hanger, and I see those two things: loving God and loving people, and everything. All the thing. Everything else that we need to know comes from that place. Everything hangs off it. You could imagine your whole wardrobe hanging on that coat hanger. Everything that you need to put on, everything that you need to wear, everything that you need to consider, everything comes from these two commandments. And so Jesus holds everything together. He holds all of our life instruction together. He holds and pulls together everything under this banner. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so flowing through and expressed through all of the values that we seek, that are ingrained or that we're seeking and aspiring to grow in as a church, it's about loving God and loving people. Hilariously, you can't read it, but I searched for a coat hanger, and this comes up as a person holding a pair of scissors in front of a wooden hanger. I can't see any scissors there, but that just made me laugh, so I thought it might make you laugh too. But Christ, we're connected in Christ. Christ has completely fulfilled all the law and the prophets. They've all been fulfilled through his earthly ministry, through what he achieved, through the cross, through what he achieved, through the resurrection. They've all of the law and prophets have been fulfilled in him. He holds them all together, and he holds them together in these commandments. So to be Christ-centered holds together all our values, including what it means for us to connect and to be connected. And the ways that we talk about connecting, or that we are aspiring to connect, are these: to connect with God as individuals, as a church, to connect with him, to connect with each other as family, as the people of God, and with the wider church and the wider people of God and people across the world who love God and who are his people, and also to connect with our communities. And what I mean by that, I mean our communities outside of the walls of the church, outside of the comfort of our church family, to connect with people beyond the context of those who are currently following Jesus and those who are currently in our church. We want to connect with the people in our communities, in our context, in our workplaces, in our families, and where we live, where we study, where we do what we do in everyday life. Connecting things up and understanding that Christ is in all of it. And that Jesus wants to be as present with you when you're in your workplace tomorrow morning as he is when you meet with him and you worship him here on a Sunday morning. Amen? So, Ephesians 4, another verse which talks about us being held together. It says this, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That word there for being joined together, joined and held together, is translated differently in different translations, but the Greek word that they're using there is that word there. The definition of which is to fit together. I'll give it a go, shall I? Synamologio. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The definition of that word is to fit together. Hey. I've said this before, but look around this room just for a second, you know, without being too embarrassing and staring at people. What else? Why else would you be sat in a room with these people if it wasn't for Jesus? In him, we fit together. We're united. We're the same family. We share the same spiritual DNA. In Christ, we fit together, and it's only because of him. When I was, when we were creating we just now call them connect groups. It was a number of years ago, and we were exploring how to develop the small group and the home group life in our church, and really felt God speak to us about what we called the Connect Four. And so we have what are now called Connect Groups. For a season, they were called Connect Four Groups because they were based on four principles. And we're actually going to look at those four principles as a sort of a basis of our understanding of what it means to connect. But when I was playing with logos and how I was going to present this, one of the ideas that I had was to actually put four jigsaw pieces together like this, and I spent far too long turning them round, sizing them, making it look good, and then deciding that wasn't the image I was going to go with. But welcome to my world. This was one of the ideas. But I remember speaking years ago in Swansea when I was ministering, one of the ministers on the team there in Swansea, Elim. And actually buying a jigsaw puzzle off eBay or from a charity shop and giving everybody in the congregation a piece of that jigsaw puzzle and helping them to understand that if their piece of the jigsaw puzzle wasn't there, then there was something missing from the jigsaw. God has made us to fit together. God has made us to be a picture framed by him. You know, important with a jigsaw puzzle I'm no expert or veteran of jigsaws, but I think it's best to start with the outside and frame it and give it the shape and then let the rest of it come together. But anyway, we moved on from the idea of jigsaw pieces, but this imagery of fitting together that we get from Ephesians there makes me think of this jigsaw fitting together. And of course, in the middle of that, there's a cross, and it's Christ who's at the center of how we all fit together. And he's the reason that we all fit together and why we fight to fit together, even though it's hard sometimes, even though it is challenging, even though we don't always feel like it. Because of him, we fit together. And we moved on and we actually created a different logo, which was about cogs all fitting together. And what I liked about that is that as one cog turns and moves, the rest of it's in motion and there's this interplay and it's alive and it's moving. And within each one of those cogs, we expressed that there's a little image there that expresses one of what we called the Connect Four. Season, our Connect Four groups were based around looking at one of these each week. So one week in the month it would be family, connecting for family. One week in the month it would be connecting for worship. One week in the month it would be connecting for truth, which was about Bible study. And one week in the month it was about connecting with our community and making sure that we're doing something that was beyond and reaching out. Now we've allowed those groups to develop and we've reached a point now where we just call them connect groups. But the idea is that within our connect groups, these four values continue to be expressed. So we make sure that we're investing in and prioritizing those four areas through the life of our groups. And that's what our connect group leaders are seeking to do. And that's what we try and communicate to make sure that we're doing. So let's just look at why we felt those different areas of connection are so important. This is a screenshot from when we did some Connect 4 group leaders training, when we first introduced these groups. And this is how we described what worship is about. We connect for worship because we were made to worship God and enjoy His presence. As we connect for worship, we spend time praising, worshiping, and praying Him in creative and vibrant ways. And this is about reaching up or reaching higher and reaching up to God. That first and greatest commandment is to love God. What does it mean to love God? Well, there's so many different answers to that question, so many different ways that we express our love of God. But one of the things that we do is to worship and love Him with our whole lives in response to the immeasurable love that He has given to us. When we have truly understood and grasped, well, we never will fully grasp it, but when we've grasped something of the depth of the love that God has expressed to us in Christ Jesus, we have to respond with worship and thanksgiving and praise. And this needs to be expressed in our individual lives and our corporate lives. And we need to intentionally come before the Lord individually and corporately. Passage that comes to mind for me is Psalm 100. Should we read this one together? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Last week, John talked to us about being shepherded by God. And he talked about the gate. And I've never made a connection as this passage in one sentence. It says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And the next verse says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. And isn't it amazing? In when Jesus describing Himself as the good shepherd in John 10, He talks about being the gate. Enter, and it's through Christ that we enter into the courts of God and that we know His shepherding. Amen. It's wonderful to be able to enter His courts, His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And we need to connect with God. We need to have this as part of our daily, everyday lives, whether it's through putting worship music on or expressing your praise or worshiping in totally ways that are unrelated to music. We need to make sure that we are connecting with Him and worshiping Him. And when we gather, our praise and our worship is the overflow of hearts that are grateful to God. Can I just say something? We don't have the worship time to top you up in church. It's not your battery recharge. We bring worship. We don't receive worship. And you've probably heard preachers say before, you know, oh, I didn't get anything out of the worship today. Oh, well, it wasn't for you. The worship that we bring is for Him. And so when we're coming together to worship, it's not so that we receive God's blessing and so that we get from Him. But by His grace, we always do. That's just the overflow of God's goodness and grace. That He wants to meet with us. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And we do meet with Him in those times of worship. But when we gather and praise, it should be the overflow of lives that have been impacted and are full of the goodness of God. So it should be like a fountainhead of worship that rises up, not a stream that comes down into our hearts. Does that make sense? Am I making sense in that? And can I also say that our worship is not the warm-up act for the preach? And sometimes we can sort of think, oh, it's okay, it's only the worship. I always remember Dave Campbell, and I've got, you know, Dave Campbell, who was one of Elim's national leaders for years. He was pastor in St. Albans and served with him at events like River Camp. And he would say this: the worship is the bit of the service that God comes for. I can tell you that God doesn't need to hear me preach. Now, of course, God is here for all of it. Of course, God is part of everything that we do, and that's what we'd want it to be like. But the point is, being here to praise and worship God, you know, the music team put in time and energy and effort and rehearsal time. They're here before anybody else on a Sunday morning. Let's come ready to worship. Let's come to bring and to give, not to get. Let's connect with God. We often express our worship in singing, and He meets with us. But our worship is our response to Him, and His grace is His response to us. Amen? And I love, we read this in our Connect group. We've started looking at Revelation. It says this in Revelation 1 and 17, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead. That was John's correct response, the author of Revelation, John. It was his correct response to the revelation of the majesty of Jesus that he was having, was to fall down as though dead in worship, in honor, in humility. And for me, this is just the wonderful picture of what happens when we do come in awe and honor of God. Then He placed His right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last." We worship Him because of who He is and all that He has done. But then He places His hand on us and says, and then He goes on in Revelation to give John His instruction. And I believe that's what God does with us. When we come before Him in worship, we humble ourselves and honor Him. He places His hand on us. Don't be afraid. And this is what I want you to do. Blesses us in His grace. So, first of all, we connect with God. We're created to connect with Him. We're created to commune with Him and to live for Him. And so we want our activities and our meetings to model what it means to be truly, fully human. And to be truly, fully human is to connect with God. So we are a people who connect with God. And the other one is very closely connected to this. The next one, we talk about connect for truth. And this is what we said in our training. The Bible is God's truth revealed to us. As we connect for truth, we spend time studying and discussing Scripture and sharing how to live it out today. And this is about digging deeper, going deeper, and understanding more of God's heart for us. And where the first one is about loving God, I would suggest that actually doing this is about being loved by God. It might be more accurately to say that we're being shaped by God as we do this. It's about His living, His active word shaping our lives. And it's about not being just readers or hearers of the word, but putting it into action and building our lives around the word of God. And of course, the word of God, the Logos, is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. He was described as the word of the living word, the word made flesh, made His dwelling among us. And the Scriptures, we know, are according to Timothy, the letter to Timothy, Scriptures are God-breathed and useful and helpful for us. We need to make sure that we are setting our sights on the right things in life. And we're all shaped by something. We're all guided by something. And God has revealed His truth to us through the scriptures, and we want to build our lives around what he teaches us through those. Psalm 119 asks a really relevant question, which I think is as relevant today, if not more, than when Psalm 119 was written. Let me ask you this question. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Good question. Can I ask you another question? How can an old person like me stay on the path of purity? Good question. Anybody else fail? Anybody else who's failed to stay on the path of purity at times in their lives? Well, here's the answer: by living according to your word. He's talking to the Lord. He says this, the psalmist says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And so as a church, we want to say, Lord, we will not neglect your word. When the culture around us, now we can ask questions, we can discuss, we can allow our ideas on things to be shaped, but what doesn't change is God's word. And God connects with us through his word. He's given it to us so that he can do. But this can be expanded to include any times of prayer or intentional devotion too. Connecting with God and letting him shape our will and our actions means being Bible shaped, and we want to be a people who connect with God and grow in fruitfulness. And a familiar verse from John 15 says, I am the vine, Jesus saying, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Connect with God. Be connected with him. It's why we do things like sanctuary, which we do once a month, which is just an opportunity for people to come and rest in the presence of God. We sing some live worship songs, and we allow people to just rest and connect with God and hear what God might be saying. Why? Because that only needs to happen once a month? No, because we want to just model something. And we do it once a month corporately, but there's nothing stopping us doing it every day individually. Just spending time in the presence of God, listening to what he might be saying, connecting with him. He is the vine. Careful what you connect with, because you are what you eat. You are what you draw from. And the source of your life will determine the fruit of your life. We want to bear good fruit, amen? So let's connect to our good God. So those first two kind of come under the banner of love God, connect with God. The second two come under the banner of love people and connect with people. So with Connect for Family, what we said was that our church is a family in which all can be loved and accepted. As we connect for family, we spend time socializing, eating, having fun, and simply being together. Amen. Does that sound good? Especially the eating part, right? We, in our family, these are some of the things that we do when we aren't doing like jobs. We spend time together. We eat together. We have fun, and we enjoy just being together. And we want that to be some of how we connect and love each other as a church. A few weeks ago, as we've gone through this series, we've already talked about being a people who are family. And sometimes this is just expressed in doing life together. But the way that we love one another as family should make others want to know who God is. That's what we're told in Scripture. The way that we love one another, as you love one another, people will know that you are my disciples. People should want to know who God is because of the way that we interact and love one another. And this word, oikeos, which we talked about in being a people who are family, it talks of being of one's family, domestic and intimate family. And we want to be those who are connected and know who we are and know whose we are and join together in those ways. And I encourage you, just spend time with people. Make a date. Can we go for coffee? Yes, let's go for coffee. Can we go for a walk? Yes, let's go for a walk. Can we come over and play Monopoly? No, probably not. Thank you. You don't want to see me play Monopoly. But I'm sure we can find another game that might be less dangerous for everybody. I can see a few testimonies. I can see a few other people who can, yeah, don't play Monopoly with me. That's a bad idea. Tell you what you really didn't want to do was play Sabutio with me when I was a kid. Oh, boy. My dad had to change the whole rules of Sabutio just to stop my rages. I know you can't believe it now, but when I lost at Sabutio, it didn't go well. It didn't go well. Anyway, that's my confession time over. Some of you are like, what's Sabutio? Yeah. It involved football. Anyway, that's all you need to know. It was like you used to flick the players. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My dad was better than me, so we had to change the rules. It's as simple as that. But guys, this is a two-way thing. Don't just expect everybody to come to you. You go to them as well. Please, or just invite someone over for a meal, or just do stuff with people. Amen. Point made. Ephesians 4 says this: consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wow! That's the family that we are part of. Joined together, again, Christ-centered in him, but a dwelling of the Spirit of God. So, we are family. Keep the song in your mind. Don't sing it. We are family. With Christ as our head. And as we said a few weeks ago, families can be the context in which we experience our greatest joys. They can also be the place within which we experience our greatest and our deepest pain. Because it matters. And you matter to everyone else in this room. Because if one little fingernail or toenail is hurt, the whole body hurts. And we rejoice together, we suffer together. We can know our greatest joys and our greatest pains, but we're family. We're also part of a wider family of God's people. God's people in Aberystwyth, God's people in Wales, God's people in the UK, and God's people across the world. We're part of a wider family. And when something happens to one part of the family, it happens to us. One part of the body happens to us. We had Ruth Martin here some time ago talking to us about people from Open Doors, an organization called Open Doors, talking to us about people who suffer for the sake of the gospel in different parts of the world. Church, if it's happening to them, it's happening to us. Let's show an interest. Let's support. Let's pray. Let's be involved in what's happening to God's people across the world. Amen. And the final one is another expression of what it means to love people. We've got the love people within our church family, but we also are called to love people beyond our church family and express the love of God to our community. So our heart is for people to find true life and love in Christ. As we connect for community, we spend time reaching out to share his good news with the world around us. This was the birthplace of the HOTS, the Healing on the Streets ministry within our church. That's where this idea came from, connecting for community. This is where our latest attempts to run an Alpha course came from. We want to make sure that we are doing things which reach out and make sure that we're expressing the gospel to the people of Aberystwyth and of the world. The gospel starts with go. Christ loved you and me enough to leave heaven behind in order to come and be born as a baby, to live a perfect life, to die upon a cross, an agonizing death. He loved us enough to do that so that we could be reconciled to God. Now, it's incumbent upon us, the call is upon us to love people enough, to leave our comfort zones, to go through what it means to sacrifice something of our lives for others. We must love the world enough to take the gospel to them. So we've got to connect with them. And if we truly understand who God is and what he's done for us, then the rubber's got to hit the road. We can't stay at home. The rubber's got to hit the road. We've got to go. We've got to get out. We've got to be and live and speak the good news of Jesus to a generation so desperately needing to hear it. Matthew 28, we started by looking at the great commands that Jesus gave us, love God and love people. And the other aspect of what we say within what we're seeking to achieve as a church comes from the Great Commission. You know, I love sometimes vision statements and things in churches can be really powerful and helpful. But I do believe that God has given us the mission statement, love God, love people, and the Great Commission as universal mission statements for the church. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go into all the world. We're called to join up the dots, to connect the people who need God with the reality and the power and the presence and the truth and the love and the gospel of Jesus. We're called to join those dots up. And we take that presence and power of God into whatever communities and contexts we go. I want to just, it's so important to understand this. The church is not a club that we come to and we give our subscription to and we get what we want from it. I've heard it said that the church is the only organization that really exists for those that aren't a part of it. Of course, you know, of course we do exist for each other. That's what we've been saying, we're family, and we do. But what the point they're making is that really, we're already, if we know Jesus and set our lives on following him and are faithful to him, then we know that we're going to spend eternity together. But there's a generation of people out there who don't, that we can help, that we can join up the dots for, that we can invite to join us on that journey of following Jesus. So we want to be a people who connect our communities with the truth and the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. And let's be aware of the power of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And yes, it is also an offense to some. And yes, it is not to those who are perishing. It's an offense and it is hard and it is difficult. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Let's be confident in the power of the gospel as we live it out, as we seek to share it, as we seek to help people understand what it means to follow Jesus. So, in conclusion, we are a people who connect with each other, with God, and with our communities, joined together in Christ. Elim Aberystwyth, we're a people who connect. That's what we mean when we say that we're a people who connect. We're going to finish our service by breaking bread and taking the cup together. I'm going to invite the musicians. In fact, why don't you Yeah, no, we'll serve you afterwards if you come and be ready to play. Why are we doing it at this end of the service today? Because this is an expression of our unity. It's an expression of our unity with one another, because we take from the same cup and the same bread. It's an expression of our unity with God. Jesus explained that it was his body and his blood that were symbolized through the cup and through the bread that we take. In Luke 22:14 says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.